this episode, we talk about our crazy move across the world to Hawaii, what it means when God says in John 1, grace upon grace. And we also chat about what ladies should do. Should they lower their expectations for men if it seems like there's not that many good ones out there? Stay tuned, hang out with us, subscribe on iTunes, and live tweet with us as you listen. Hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. Alrighty, guys, how's it going? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to Anything and Everything, an up-close and personal look into the lives of two married people who talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Hey, thanks, guys, for tuning in. I actually just said that 5 minutes ago, but you guys didn't hear it because we basically did the first 5 to 10 minutes of this podcast and then didn't realize that I never pressed record. But anyways, thank you guys for tuning in. We're excited to have you guys for, I think, episode 5. Man, it's been a crazy couple weeks, so let's catch them up on that like we already did before, but we didn't press record again.
So round two.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, first of all, we got here in Hawaii a couple days ago, but we basically started moving about a week ago. And then, like I said, about a week ago, if you know that rap song, then okay. Anyways, but yeah, so we started moving about a week ago and got the container, and it was just a crazy, crazy weekend because, yeah, I caught the flu, 4 or 5 days before we moved?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was not, I mean, we're talking like flu. Like
we were at your parents for a
going away party.
And mm-hmm. then like everyone got it within the next 48 hours, except three of us.
Yeah. So it was like 13 people and like 10 of us within 48 hours were down for the count. We're talking, you know, throwing up, coming out both ends. It was just not pretty.
It was like the bubonic plague.
Exactly. Sorry if that was TMI, by the way, but it was it was intense. And so that's really,
there's always that question, what do you do when it's coming out both ends?
That's definitely TMI, actually.
Do you go to the shower? Do you grab a bucket?
Oh, okay. Let's move. Okay. Sorry, listeners. I was not knowing that was coming.
Tell us what you do. Hashtag Jeff and Alyssa.
No, do not do it. Do not do it. I will not click on the hashtag if that starts to begin being chatted about. But yes, that is a great question, but we should keep that question to ourselves.
Well, no, it's good to know. Maybe it'll help somebody in the future.
Touche.
Anyway, so we got the flu. Finally yeah, got better.
Which that's always rough when you're trying to pack and all that stuff with that stress. And then I had to go to seminary right after that when I got better for 36 hours down in Portland because it's a couple hours away from Seattle. And I was down there and then I spoke that weekend too. And so it was just rough. But
while we were packing.
Yeah, but we had a great community and friends around us, which was really fun.
I gave up their whole weekend.
Exactly. I specifically remember Sunday. So I don't know if you guys are familiar, but the Seattle Seahawks are in the Super Bowl because they won the craziest game ever.
Seahawks?
There's the deep voice again. I think you're going to give your deep voice a shout out every episode. It's just going to be something different. So it's kind of like Where's Waldo, but where's Alyssa's deep voice? You know, I like that. And so people have to give us the minute and time where it comes in. Like last time it was TN and then it was Seahawks. but yeah, that was like, that was an iconic game, man. That's going to go down as one of the most historic games in Seattle history. And I was like, man, we are running out throughout the yard and it was just crazy. But we also had no furniture, so we were basically all standing in our blank house because we made sure to pack the TV last because the game was on.
And then you ripped your pants.
Yes, yeah. And if you see on Instagram, I straight up ripped my pants. I mean, we're talking top to bottom. It was not pretty.
Like you should have even been wearing pants. It was so bad.
What do you mean? I don't get it.
Like you ripped it so much.
Oh, I mean, I should have taken it off and changed?
No, it was just like there's so much airflow coming through because the tear was so big.
Touche, yeah, exactly. It was crazy. But, and if you want to see that, that's on Instagram. I think a week or two ago I posted it. But yeah, so that was the back end of the move or the front end of the move. And then we got here and man, it's just been so incredible. I mean, man, I just think, well, I think there's a real, if everyone's listening to our podcast before, previously, they're familiar with the fact that, like I said, you have community here and we have friends mm-hmm. here, but I feel like they just, again, like they did on the front end with so much, your mom, you know, Janice and Dave, so many people on the front end helping us, my buddies. And then on this side, I feel like same thing. The community just was so, we had people bring us breakfast, people bring us dinner. You know, we lived in this house for 3 days and we've already had more people over than we've had like all, you know, last 6 months. But I mean, how are you feeling with all the last couple of days? I know you were a little anxious or stressed I think with our personalities, it's specifically harder for you. I think I can just kind of pull up and go. But yeah, how are you feeling with it all?
I'm feeling good. I don't think it's hit me yet that we've moved. Like I still feel like we're on vacation. So. Mm-hmm. And we've been so busy, I haven't had time to be home.
Because last time you lived here, you were single, you were an intern. So it's like, it's such a different season of life. That totally. Yeah, it's not like, even though you have lived here, it feels different now that we are.
Yeah, I mean, there's great community, although I really miss people back home. But mm-hmm. yeah, I think maybe in a month or so, it'll really hit me.
Yeah. Well, and then our container comes in about a week, which I think that'll hit me then, because that's when all our that's when our life basically shows up, our stuff and our desks and all that stuff. So then it'll feel like home, and then I think it'll feel real when all our own stuff is like our, you know, all that stuff, our couch, our stuff, you know, it'll just feel real. So, but it's been amazing, man. I mean, literally, like, okay, so it's, what time is it right now recording this? We're recording this on Monday or Tuesday night in Hawaii at 8 p.m., and it's like I'm in a tank top, you guys, because this is like I'm sweating, and that's like this is January, and you know what? That's a I'll take that problem. Sweating, you know, sweating at night at 8 p.m. in January, I'll take that problem. Why? Because you can go suns out, guns out, and it's a great day, because that means it was probably 80 degrees, and I just said suns out, guns out. Hashtag woohoo! But yeah, it's just incredible. Like, I'm not used to this because I never lived here like you did, and you know, 25 years in Washington, it's like rain, 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 gray sky, rain, rain, rain.
It's sunny.
2 days of sun, and then back to the rain, rain, rain. So it's just incredible.
It's wonderful.
And yeah, we walked down to the beach, and Aslan loves it. Kinsley loves the beach. Yeah, we saw the sunset. Kinsley loved the beach, but she was only there for 3 minutes because she basically has never seen the sun and was getting burned within 30
well,
seconds.
No, I forgot to put sunscreen on her. So hashtag mom problems.
Exactly, exactly. Man, if someone hashtags all their hashtags in one tweet, and they'll have nothing left to say because it's all full of hashtags. But
let's do a contest.
What?
Give us your best hashtag for this episode.
Oh, that's good. We'll look at it. But you specifically have to hashtag Jeff and Alyssa so we see it and then do the other hashtag. Yeah, yeah. That's,
and we'll give you a shout out next time.
Are you even on Twitter? Will you even see this?
No, but you will.
Yeah, so basically what you mean is I'll do it and then relay it to you because whenever it's funny, I make sure I read it out loud to you. No, that's true. But yeah, so you guys have been
Have you guys seen that? Justin Timberlake, Jimmy Fallon, hashtag. I mean, that's old school, but you know.
It's like a year or two ago, which me and Alyssa are both doing the hand motion right now. If you've actually seen that YouTube, go look it up. It's great.
Anyway, should we keep going?
Sure. Yeah. But I just want to make sure too, if for the listeners that, man, you guys have been so encouraging to us with our, like, I just, so many of you guys have given us such kind words of, hey, you know, I hope the transition goes great. You know, hope you guys
praying
are settling in.
Yeah.
Maui, praying for you guys. And I just want to let you know, even if we haven't met you, that does feel real to us because we know that you guys are real people and in real lives and real stories. And so that does, it feels really special to us is what I mean, because you guys are real people. So
I totally felt the Lord answering those prayers.
Yeah. I mean, those prayers, you know, have power. Yeah. And so we just want to thank you guys. It really is humbling to us when we actually read what you say on Twitter and Facebook or I read it and relay it to Alyssa. But with that too, an encouraging note, I mean, talk about what you were talking about this morning. I think you're doing a study in John on She Reads Truth, right? Which, by the way, if you're a lady on this podcast and you're listening.
Or a guy.
Yeah, I guess. Well, they specifically tailor it to girls, don't they? I mean, I like it. I do read it, but it's like, it's girly. Like
girly, yeah.
But anyone can read it. But check it out. It's one of the sickest, slickest, awesome apps for Bible study. And they also have an online platform. They're amazing. She Reads Truth. The app's free. And then you can buy some studies. Some studies are free. It's amazing. But yeah, you're studying John right now. And what was the phrase you were kind of concentrating on?
Well, the memory, I'm kind of behind. So I'm starting late. But the memory verse for this week was John 1:16. That says, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace.
Mm.
And I love that verse.
How come?
I think just as I've been reflecting on it this week and even just being here, just like it's so true. Like God is just pouring out his grace upon us every moment of every day. Whether we're in a hard season or a good season, like to open our eyes to see like grace upon grace. He saved us. He's rescued us. He's called us his own. He loves us. He cherishes us. And then he also answers a lot of prayer and just so many things. And even like tonight when we went down to see the sunset and the waves were crashing, just reminding us of like the ocean and how the waves crash and they're never ending. And it was just like they were saying like grace upon grace, like God's grace never runs dry. It's always constant. Anyway, it's just been a really cool verse. And then I was thinking too, like, it's from his fullness that the grace flows. And so God is so full. It's like he's overflowing with grace and it's just pouring down on us.
Yeah, I like, and it's funny, I mean, not to be cliche because we're in Hawaii with the wave analogy, but I think that's like perfect, right? Like, well, first of all, the verse doesn't say from his fullness we've all received grace. Now, is that true? Of course, but it's like John's trying to particularly communicate that it's just this overabundance, lavishing. Like, I have this picture of water and just getting drenched, right? It's just coming at you and it's just like overflowing. Like, the cup is just, you know, so full of grace that it just can't help but spill out onto someone else or something else. And that's us, right, with Jesus. And so, yeah, and then the wave analogy, I mean, like when we were down there tonight a couple hours ago, like it's just crazy because the waves, they're one of the steadiest things in the world, you know? And what I mean by that is just like they just every 4 seconds, 5 seconds, they just crash. They just keep, you know, it's like wave, pause, wave, pause, you know? And they've been doing that forever. Like literally, when we're not even thinking about it, they're doing it. When we're back home in Seattle, they're doing it. If you're in Oklahoma and you can't see a wave and you maybe have never seen a wave, they're still doing it. Shout out to people from Oklahoma. but it's true, right? And so, yeah, I mean, I just, what if we had that vision of God's grace? Like do we actually, it's sad if we believe that waves are more steady and rhythmic and in their nature to do the same thing every single time than God with grace. Does that make sense? And like, you know, because God is God, God is love, and God is, it's not like he chooses to do, it's in his nature basically to just flow out in the same way that it's in its ocean's nature to just flow out. And so what if we had that picture of like, you know, this grace washing over us and crashing on us. And then right when you think you've gotten to the point where you're getting dry again, per se, you know, or you've exhausted it, or God's maybe, you think he's upset at you, he's not. And another one crashes over you, right? Like if we could just, it's not about us. It's not about God not doing these things. It's really about us being aware to what he is doing, right? And his grace. The question is like his waves, like here's a better way to put it. The waves are always crashing on the beaches of Hawaii. Mm-hmm. The question is though, am I in Oklahoma or I'm in Hawaii, right? Not mm-hmm. to send the analogy, but like it's always happening, but if you're away from it, you get distant, you don't think about it. So the question is, are you putting yourself close to where those waves are crashing? They're always happening, and our job is to get close to the shore where they crash over us. And if we can just sit at the feet of Jesus, be in his word, be in prayer, be in community, then it is like this washing over us, and then the next one comes, and the next one comes, and the next mm-hmm. one comes. So I just love that. And I think John 1, this is just a personal thing for all the people listening, is one of my favorite chapters. I love John's really, I almost think he's almost midrashing a little bit in John 1 with Genesis. He's almost trying to kind of give his own little interpretation on Genesis 1, which is why it starts with the same three letters, right? Genesis 1, in the beginning, John 1, in the beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it's just such a beautiful text. And then it talks about, and from his beauty, we've all received grace and truth. And, you know, and then like the verse you just said in 1:16, it's just, or it's actually from his fullness, but I think I've heard it, or from his glory, but I've heard a translation that said from his beauty, which I thought was a really unique way to put it. But yeah, it's just such an awesome text. If you want to just sit in a text and just kind of, or one that's, I think, good to memorize, I think that one. Now, there's some funky things going on there, right? With like, it is funny that it seems like John's very ADHD, because if you do read it, it's like four verses about in the beginning and Jesus, and then all of a sudden it's like four verses about John the Baptist, and then it jumps back to Jesus. It's like, hey, John, like, you know, stick with your point, right? But that's a whole nother podcast on why maybe I think he does that, but with his literary devices. But yeah, I just love it. And so you're in the study right now, or is it just that verse? What were you saying? How does that study's particular work? Is it through the whole book?
Yeah.
And how far are you?
Only on like chapter 5.
Nice. What is it like? So do you do it every day for a couple weeks, or how does it work?
Mm-hmm. It's like 22 lessons.
That's legit. So, she Reads Truth is the business.
Yeah.
So.
And my friend Shannon and I are going to do their Lent study. It starts on February 18th. We're going to order the packets, but you can also just do it online, I think, or on the app. So if you guys want to check that out, you can do it along with us. It'd be great to hear what you're learning.
Yeah, that would actually be really cool. Kind of like a little bit of a community if they start with you. Mm-hmm. Is the Lent one free, or is it like $1.99?
It might be free online, and then probably like $1.99 on the app.
And then you can buy the books for like normal book price, like 20 bucks or 30 bucks.
$30.
Yeah, which that's like a normal if you go into a bookstore and buy the book. And the,
I think it's a little more, but they like do really beautiful artwork and they have some sick hymns.
And they send you stuff you can print out. Yeah, yeah. Or like cards. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. true. So that would actually be really cool. So yeah, ladies, remember that. And that'd be fun to hop in on the hashtag with that and talk to chat with you guys. But So
should we start with the questions?
We could. Yeah, I mean, we could. There's a lot of questions where, we could get into them sooner because there was so many tonight. I sent out a tweet at like 8 p.m., which is 10 p.m. Washington time, 1 a.m. New York time. I didn't think I was going to get any questions. And then everyone was like, all the homies were like, yo, I got questions. So
they're all procrastinating on their homework.
Yeah, exactly. That's young people right there. Millennials. Hashtag. What was the first one that I liked that was really good? Oh, yeah. So there's the one I teased in the beginning from Harmony Neganawina.
Oh, dear.
Yeah,
babe,
you're going to have to.
Your pronunciation.
Yeah, you're going to have to, Harmony, you're going to have to help me on that one. Or N-E-G-A-N, Negan, Neganawina. Yeah, let us know. This is a good one. She said, as a young 20-year-old girl, are my expectations of a man being pure too far-fetched, and should I lower them? And other qualities I want in a man, should I lower those too, since the world is what it is when it comes to dating? And she basically said, can you give more dating advice, please, in relation to this question? Man, that's a hard one. Do you want to go first? Yeah, I think you should go first, since you're the lady. And it was to a lady.
Okay, so there's two questions there, right?
Kind of. I mean, it sounds like one. She asked a few different versions, but it's basically like, should she lower her expectations for a guy because it sounds like there's maybe she's not seeing any of the good guys coming around. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that is a good question. No, you should definitely not lower your expectations. I mean, obviously, I guess it depends on what your expectations are. If they're like, I don't know, blonde, blue-eyed, brings me my favorite coffee drink every day. Whispers sweet nothings in my ear whenever we're together. Like, those are pretty high expectations. But if their expectations, like, he loves Jesus and he leads us and he prays for me, those type of things, then no, definitely not. Even though it may seem like there's very few guys that do that, or all the ones that do are married, that doesn't mean they're not out there. And I think that that desire of yours is given by God, and he is so faithful to know your heart and to answer your prayer and to bring a man into your life that is like that. And I know that it may seem bleak, but just keep praying, keep asking the Lord, keep seeking the Lord and being that type of woman, and you'll attract that kind of guy. And even if it seems absolutely impossible, nothing is impossible with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I would almost say the exact same answer, maybe just from a little different angle, in that, like, it depends on the expectations, right? Like, if you have an idea of basically this idolatrous perfect man that's going to save you, well, that's Jesus's job, right? He's that person on a pedestal.
Because you won't find a perfect guy.
Exactly.
At all.
There's a level of, if you have your expectations, it just really is a question of, no, have your expectations really, really high for a man of God, but also make sure that it's not idolatrous, meaning like it's an idol. Because the minute it does that, no human can sustain that, right? Like, when you put someone in a position where they have to be your God, they can't sustain that. It crushes them, and it's really hard on guys and girls alike. But man, still have incredibly high expectations with hopefully what you want them to be like. You want them to love Jesus. I think you said it before too, which you mentioned is like, you know, don't just have someone who says they like Jesus or just says they're a Christian.
Or goes to church.
Yeah, it's like, no, they really love him. You know, they love him. They want to know more about him, all of that. And so that's a huge one. I would say, no, you don't have to lower it. I think I actually heard this from Lecrae when he was talking about, you know, he said he tells people sometimes like know your worth, you know, you're incredibly valuable. And the thing with really valuable things is they don't advertise. It's just when people want them, they know where to find them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And he used the example of cars, right? He's like, you see 5 million Honda commercials, but when's the last time you've seen a Lamborghini commercial on TV? He's like, you never do. Right? Because Lamborghinis are $500,000. You just know, if you want one, you know where to find one, or you'll pursue it. Yeah. Right? But usually when you lower worth, you usually have to advertise. And I just thought that was a really good analogy, that man, if you're an image bearer of God, men and women alike, you know, that's invaluable. It can't even really, you know, and so know your worth, know your dignity, know your value. And it's sad, but a lot of guys, myself included, in a certain season, before following Jesus, it takes work to get the really nice fruit at the top of the tree. And is that a way to put it? You know? And so I know it's a weird way to put it, but we usually like, there's going to be less people trying for that. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, and so it's going
to
be harder.
Like, it's more work to go for a girl that loves Jesus. That's not like throwing herself at
you.
Yeah.
Or they just seem to, it's work, and it's because being a guy should be work, right? You should have to sweat and risk and pursue and all these things. And a lot of guys, you know, when we fear rejection or we fear all these things in our sinful nature, and that makes us not want to go for the fruit that's at the top of the tree, if that makes sense. And so, I don't even know if I'm saying that's the best, but I just want to super emphasize that, like, I don't want any girls to ever get to a point, and Kinsley herself, when she's older, that it's like their fault. Like, no, it's it's sad, but especially in America, there's a male adolescence problem. Like, it just keeps getting extended and extended, and all of a sudden the guy's 47 and he's still playing video games in the mom's basement, and that's a problem, right? And so, I can see how that's tough for a lot of ladies, but then also don't forget the premise that God's in control, you know, like, nothing's too big for God. And
I think that's a huge lesson in trust.
Yeah. I mean, even our story, right? Like, if God didn't change my heart, we probably never would even have met or talked or got married. But God does change hearts. God gives desires, he stirs hearts, and he weaves, and he's just this grand creator that is kind of this dance and this narrative unplaying on earth, and he can have things collide and wrap together and all that stuff.
He writes the best love stories.
Exactly. And so I would just say, just, man, rest in that. I hope that's something you can rest in, Harmony. And I hope that was a helpful answer. I feel like I couldn't really get to my point. I was trying to say something and wasn't the best
words.
Can
I add two things? Oh, now I'm forgetting what I was going to say. Two things also. I think be really praying for your future husband. Like, I think that's an awesome way to be waiting well. Like, you don't just sit back and wait for God to bring this guy, but you can actually be doing something, and that doing something is being praying for him and knowing that God will answer that prayer in that moment. And like, he's going to be working on your husband, which is really cool. And then once you guys are together, you can look back and see how he answered all those prayers. Cause those guys need our prayers. They need, women to be on their knees praying for them, fighting that spiritual battle that is after them, to be apathetic and to be all these things. Like, we need to be praying for men. And two, I think I don't know if this was part of her question, but I don't know if she asked anything about purity.
Yeah, that was part of it. Totally. Yeah.
Sailing for purity.
Like, should she lower expectations specifically in purity because like guys, are struggling in that? And then also it sounded like she was asking the normal dating question, like should she lower expectations in general in dating?
Right. Well, I don't know if this is part of it exactly, but I don't know if you're hoping for a virgin or if that's part of the settling question. I think you can hope for that and pray for that, but to just be asking God to prepare your heart for whatever his past is, and to show a lot of grace in that, whatever it is, and to know that God has saved him and redeemed him and he's new. I don't know if that makes sense. So
totally.
Like,
that's our story, and I think there's so much grace and reconciliation and forgiveness and beauty and all that stuff in our narrative and our story because of that. And if people are familiar with our stuff or seen some of our stuff or any of that, you've been such an incredible blessing to me in all that regard. And just showing me grace and seeing me how Jesus sees me. And it does something to the soul and the spirit. And it's just where you're kind of like filling that person up and seeing how Jesus does. And so then they can walk in who they are in the light and stuff like that. That's good. Is that all you're going to add?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay.
So hopefully that helps.
Harmony, great question. Great question. Another quick one, not quick one, another question is from Candace. She said, how do you get your fire back for Christ? That's a great question, Candace. And I have a few different kind of things on that. I think basically, like, how do you get the passion back for Jesus? Something like that nature. One, I think your non-negotiables is you have to always try to stay in the word, stay in prayer, and stay in community. And when passion leaves, usually you almost want to leave all three of those things, right? Like, you have no motivation to pray. You don't want to maybe see people in community, and you maybe don't want to read your Bible. And so we have to always kind of call ourselves saying, hey, the time I need it the most is when I lose the passion, because it's more about, a discipline and a faithfulness. And we're not earning anything with that at all. It's all grace, but it's just a discipline where you cause this rhythm in your heart, in your life, in your mind, and kind of open avenues for God to speak. But another thing too, is I've noticed with my life, like already, like it took about 2 or 3 years with me following Jesus till, it felt like it took a change. It felt like kind of that honeymoon period wore off, if that's a way to put it. It's a weird way to put it, but with Jesus. And then it really came down to just faithfulness. And I think God really wants to, there's like a double-edged sword. Like, God wants to give us passion. He wants to put us on fire. We got to give our all, and we just got to be on our knees and all these different things. But then there's also something to be said about just like quiet faithfulness, where it's like, man, you just do your daily rhythms of following Jesus when you don't feel like it. And that is sometimes the thing that gets you to 50, 60, 70 years of a faithful walking with Jesus, right? A faithful life, because that's what it's about. And so there's a tension where, like, we shouldn't be apathetic. We should always be pursuing passion. But I do think it comes in ebbs and flows. And we have to always know that don't put the cart before the horse, meaning like emotions shouldn't dictate our behavior, right? Truth should dictate our behavior. And so, I think there's something to be said. And I think specifically millennials, I think we can be sometimes almost addicted to like being driven by what we feel. Well, no, it's just about quiet faithfulness. I think a life of someone who lives 50, 60, 70 years and just keeps their head down, works a job, loves Jesus, loves others, loves God. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful life. And it's like that, you know, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse, which I think is even on some t-shirts and posters of mine where it says, live a quiet life and work with your hands. And I just think, yeah, so I think there's a double tension there. I'm not saying don't pursue passion and all that, but it's like, but it will come in ebbs and flows. And I think the faithful, steady anchor is a big thing. Would you add anything to that?
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking, I remember one of my really good friends, Risa, telling me this one time that like our walk with the Lord is a relationship. And in any relationship, there's times where we're really close with that person mm-hmm. and times where it's like, you know, a little more distant and yep. just like that's the nature of a relationship kind of. And so there's grace on you in that, you know, but at the same time, like when you don't desire the Lord, like I feel like I'm a little bit in this season, we can ask for it and we can pray for it. And every time I've been in this season and I've asked the Lord, God, just draw me closer to you. Help me to want you, to thirst after you. Mm-hmm. He is so faithful to answer that and to give us this deep hunger and desire to pursue him and be with him. And I love Psalm 63, the verse 1. It says, "Oh God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water." And yeah, just to be like praying mm. through that, like asking God to give you such a thirst for him, mm-hmm. like as if you're in a desert and you're desperate for that glass of water.
Mm, that's good. I like that. That's even, is that a, I forgot what band, but there's a.
Well, Jeff and Yona.
No, that they got, they, I mean, they sing it, but there's.
Oh, that, I thought they wrote it.
No, a band wrote that song. I forgot, but and that's one of their favorites. Oh.
Yes, I love that
song. Yeah, it's a really good song. That's a great question. Let's just do one more from.
Let's do a fun one. Can we do a fun one?
Fun one. Okay. Sorry, Tiara. Your serious question just got shafted.
I feel like we need a little upper.
Tiara, if that's you, we'll try to ask that question on the next podcast. Okay, this is a fun one to end on. Mallory Jones, what's up, Mallory? I know. Yeah, you're awesome. You're on my street team, and we talk online. Hope you're doing well. I think you're in New York or something like that. Last time I talked to you, if financial security was a given, how many kids would you have and what would you name them? That's a great question. And also, Mallory, thanks for definitely amening the fact that, man, kids cost money. Woo, I'm finding that out real quick. Oh, but they're such a blessing from the Lord. No, they're amazing. I would say, so if that's not, it doesn't have to do with anything, then how many kids would we have and what would you name them? Now, we would definitely have both different opinions on both these questions.
Yes.
It was funny. Someone asked us that question last night, one of our friends, and I was like, oh, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like, I just want to have a...
Jeff wants the whole basketball team.
Yeah, well, that'd be... Yeah, you're right. That'd be 5. Yeah, with one on the bench,
plus
6.
Them.
Yeah, yeah.
A football team.
Yeah, no, that's 11. We want to go for that?
No.
Okay. Baseball team, right in the middle, 9. Well, a field. That's a good question. Yeah, I would probably say 4 for me. I think I want a big family, but not ginormous family. I just think there's something to be said just with a big family and making disciples, and it's just leaving a legacy. And I'm really excited for kids. And after having one, I want to have more. What would you name them?
But you can't steal our names.
Yep. For a boy, we really like the name Malachi. I like it more than you because we really like shortening it to Kai. That's even now being in Hawaii too. That's popular here.
K-A-I.
Yeah. But Malachi is also biblical. And I've never thought past that actually. We had one girl name, one guy name. So I don't know.
Do you like any other girl names?
I mean, I like the girl names that go both ways, like for guys and girls, which you don't like Taylor, Jordan. I like all the ones where you don't like, it's like a girl guy name.
I absolutely love this one. You can steal because
it's so good. Do you want everyone to have it?
I love Piper.
Yep,
that's for a girl. Yeah. But Jeff hates it.
Hey, if there's a Piper out there, I don't hate it. It's just not my favorite.
You hate it for a child of ours.
Yeah.
And I love it. So someone please name their baby girl Piper.
in memory of you, because we're not going to do it.
Hashtag Jeff and Alyssa.
Exactly. Let us know. Send us a picture of Piper. How about Quintinius Archibald Nebuchadnezzar?
No.
That was actually a name I think I named like one of my stuffed animals or something.
Boomer.
Back in the,
Boomer Bethke.
That's like, he would be, I just see him being like 300-pound football player that dominates life. Yeah, no, that's a good one, Mallory. I'm not sure on that one. But if you guys have any good names, holler at me for sure. And we'll steal yours. So, sound good? So, but no, hey, sorry this episode was a little bit shorter. We recorded this... late and sweet. We put Kinsley down. We'll probably get to bed here soon. But hey, we just wanted to say thank you guys so much. And we should be back on schedule after this. Now we had to skip a week because of the move, but we should be back on schedule, hopefully release. And I usually try to release, but anytime between Sunday and Tuesday, anytime within that 48 hours every week. whenever I'm home or something of that nature. And then we also got to get Wi-Fi. So probably going to go to Starbucks tomorrow to upload this on the internet. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us. Any last words, Liz?
Nothing's coming to me.
Nothing's coming to you. Well, you already dropped so many nugs.
I was trying to think of something funny with Wi-Fi, but nothing came.
You know, where were we? In Morocco, they call it Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, which is way better. But yeah, you already dropped so many nugs. You're like on just straight nug overload that you had none left. So
not really. Yeah.
But hey, thank you guys so much for joining us. We let us know, hashtag us, chat with us on the hashtag Jeff and Alyssa. We love jumping in there and seeing what your guys' thoughts and quotes and questions are, and hopefully some fun stuff along with it. But yeah, thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you guys next week.